Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right
our
now.
So
both of us here.
It's
been a while. How about that?
Wow.
Golly, man.
Oh, golly.
It feels like we haven't done a show together in a month.
I know.
We had Stink and Evans reunited this morning for the first time in a long time. So yesterday, you did the morning show.
I did the morning show.
You did. Friday, you were off.
I was off.
I was the morning show all last week.
Yeah.
The week before that, Thursday and Friday, I had to take off because I flew to New York for a wedding. So it was the previous Wednesday. So not last Wednesday, but a week from last Wednesday was the last time that you and I did a show together. So it is great to be back. And just, like I said, make the Goldilocks analogy. Like, you're just, like... And it's great. I love working with Mark and happy to do that and have a blast with him.
Doesn't sound like it.
Stop. But. I appreciate the
wedding. It's not that much fun.
It's not fun getting up at 4:45, I'll tell you that. But just being back in your normal time slot and, you know, with your normal co-host, there's a level of comfort there. So it's great to be back with you. How are you, man?
Doing great. Doing just awesome. Orlando, you know, we got to send him off. Today's his last show.
Really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. You know, he's been, I mean, you know, me and him were teammates in 2012, and, you know, he comes into this business, and I don't know how long he's been here. 3 years, yes, I think, yes, he said, yes, something, yes, like
years,
that.
Yeah.
And now he's leaving us and going to the 49ers to go get into some coaching for a little bit this fall. And so I think that's awesome. Bummed to see him leave. My wallet's really bummed to see him leave. You know, this fall is when I really count on them Benjis every single week from him. You know, them big faces. And so that really hurt. I told the wife we're going to have to cut back this fall a little bit because we're not going to have that extra income coming in. Yeah, bummed to see my guy go. He's fun. He's, and he got to be really good at radio. So, that's a bummer. We're saying farewell to him, but he's going to do great in coaching, and I'm excited for him to see, you know, what that next chapter is and if it will be coaching long term or not.
Yeah, we'll see. But what an opportunity he has. You know, his father-in-law, his name, Bobby Turner, rings out in that business. And if there was ever an opportunity to get involved, he has a nice lubricant to you know, get him right in there. He did the internship. Had a really a good time with it, and Orlando's got a lot of knowledge to give, and it sounded like when he was out there in San Francisco, they were really letting him coach the guys. It wasn't like you're seen and not heard type deal. They know his equity as a player on the offensive line and was able to coach those guys, and I wish him the best. I'm just glad his family's staying here, and it sounds like Denver is going to still be home. They got the kids in school, Zaid and young Kylo here. I was just holding his son. I got baby fever, Stoke. I just go to the baby and say, can I hold him? And I'm just, I'm glad it's goodbye, but it's not like forever goodbye, you know? So, Orlando's great and was a great teammate here, for 3 years. And, you know, all things that has a cycle to it. So we'll see if, Orlando, sticks with coaching, maybe comes back, right? Who knows? But he can do anything he wants to do. So
yeah. So today was, you know, our farewell to him and we had a big crew come in and tell him, send him off on his show. So that was really cool. And
really cool.
Got some pizza.
Got some pizza.
Yeah.
Got some pizza out of it.
You gotta get there first. I was first in line. Because after our segment, guess what? It's going to be gone.
Right.
I mean, Dan Jacobs is here and D-Mac and...
You know, Parker's going to take three slices.
Parker's going to go three, four.
What? Who we smear? We're just, oh, okay.
That's a fan smear campaign.
That's, oh, just a fan. Yes. A fan who else? Who else looks like a, you know, might grab, try to grab four of them?
Oh, Lord. Well, we have tons to get to today, but just the biggest shout-out in the world to Orlando Franklin, a great yep. teammate of ours.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He'll do great, and I'm ready to rock and roll, man. Today's a big day.
It's a big day, man.
Big day.
It's a
huge,
big,
huge day.
Today we find out who the 2021 Denver Broncos are.
And to a certain degree. Because this thing will change. You know, obviously it changes through the season, but I think it will even change after today. Once you get that 53 set, didn't mean to interrupt you there, but once you get it set, it still changes, you know, until, you know, the first game. So you'll see three or four or five names that think they made the team, not so fast. And that's the cold, hard reality of the NFL, unfortunately. Guys get excited when they don't get that phone call by, you know, what is it, 2 o'clock our time,
yeah,
right?
So we got 2 o'clock today.
Couple hours. They don't get it. They think they made their team. They think they're great. And then all of a sudden, you know what? They get a call in 2 days.
Right.
Or they walk in the facility like, oh, coach needs to see you.
Right.
So it's not set in stone, but
because
today is the cut down day to get this thing started, to get the party started.
For most of the picture. Most
That's right.
of the picture
That's
will
right.
come into focus. Some of the peripheral stuff will change. But most of the picture will come into focus here at 2 o'clock. We will be on the air, and then George Payton and Vic Fangio will speak to the media during our show. We will carry that live. Very interested to hear George Payton's comments after building his first ever NFL team with his fingerprints on it. So that'll be a little bit later in the show. But you're right. You know, in terms of the guys that are exhaling today that might have been on the fringe, they've been competing against the people here in Broncos training camp. There's 31 other training camps, and there's a lot of guys who are waived today that might be a better fit here in Denver than the guys that have been here in Denver.
Yes, and that's why you'll see, you know, probably five names, I would say, right around there that you never heard of end up on the 53-man roster here in the next few days, because all these names, all these teams are having to cut. I don't know how many guys the Broncos have to cut today, 20 guys or so?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, times 32, pretty much. And so, you know, you have your eye on a guy or two, and you know, you try to put a claim in on waivers for him. And so you could have four, five, six new guys on your football team that weren't a part of it here during training camp. That's just the way it goes. So it's going to be interesting to see here, getting up to that 2 o'clock hour, what the 53 looks like. And then after that, what it looks like here in the next day or two.
Were you ever cut on a day like today?
Yeah.
Where?
Here.
Who was the coach?
Josh. You know the story. I think it was the last cut down day. It was pretty close. I mean, it was right before the season started. So
it's been at least a year since you've told it. How did it shake out? If you don't mind, if it's not too much of an open wound still.
I mean, you know, it's you've shared it two or three times, and it's only been a year since. So let's just go down that road today, Stokely, right? Let's just relive the bad memory of you getting just cut and you just getting your heart ripped out from you.
Bad memory for you?
Right.
Might be a good memory for others.
It's going to put a smile on your face, right? No, so it was last cut-down day. I don't remember if it was this day or not, or if it was like tomorrow or the next day, but it was the last day, and I walked into the building in the morning.
What did you think your standing at the team with the team was at that time?
I thought I was getting cut. I was preparing myself to get cut. I didn't practice. I hurt myself in training camp. I strained my inner thigh.
Your inner thigh?
Yes.
Okay.
The groin. So I hurt that.
Yeah.
Say it. What is it?
A groin.
Yes, that.
Okay.
That. I heard it. And so I was out pretty much all preseason, didn't play in a preseason game. Josh wasn't talking to me at all, like ignoring me like I wasn't even there. So I was like, well, this is weird. Right? This is weird.
And
like,
you guys formally did have.
Yeah, we talked like the year before, we talked all the time.
Yep.
All the time. Right? And
now you're
like
invisible.
During practice, like we were just, you know, because I was a third down receiver, so when I wasn't in, we were just hanging out, just chatting, right? Whatever.
Right.
And then now all of a sudden it was like, like I wasn't there. Like, what? This is, something's going on here. And so I prepared myself mentally for that. I don't like to get blindsided by this stuff. So, I could get cut here, you know, like, okay, boom. You kind of prepare yourself. I like to be prepared for stuff like that. So mentally I was preparing myself and walked into the building, and the guy was sitting at one of the tables, you know, early because I had treatment, getting treatment. So I was there, I don't know, 6:30, and there was a guy over there. I saw him out of the peripheral over there. I'm like, ooh.
That was peripheral.
Yeah.
All animals have it.
That's right.
Don't we have a soundbite like that?
That's right. That's
we all have peripheral vision. All animals do.
Yes. I have it, Tom.
He has it.
I do. And I saw him over there, and I'm like, ooh, is he waiting for me?
Mm.
You know, that's the first thought, is he waiting for me? And he got up, and I'm like, ooh, he's waiting for me.
Mm.
He's like, coach needs to see you.
Mm.
So I went up, saw Josh, and, you know, told me they were releasing me.
How was his, like, bedside manner?
I mean, it was fine. It was fine. You know, but, then he was, this was, what, 2010? So, you know, this was, what, like, year 12 maybe or whatever? But I felt like I played pretty good football the year before. And, you know, I still wanted to play. I felt like I was in great shape and... besides the injury, obviously. But then he asked me, like, do you want to keep playing? That kind of pissed me off, you know?
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. That's
when he asked me that, not really what I wanted to hear at that time. But it was cordial. It was fine, you know? I mean, obviously, I prepared myself for it, but you can't prepare yourself for it.
Right.
There's nothing like it, right? I mean, I was prepared as you could get for that moment. But to still just like somebody just punched you in the gut and kicked you. I mean, it hurt. And then so you leave there and you got your stuff and you got to go see the training staff. And then you're crossing paths with some of your guys. I remember seeing like DT and Decker, you know, that was their, was that their rookie year or their second year? Seeing those guys and just like, man, Daniel Graham. Like, man, I'm going to miss these guys. And then this, like, you start thinking, like, what's next?
Right.
What's next? You know, right. I'm hurt. And right. So a lot goes through your mind there. And I wasn't ready to be done playing football. So it, as much as I was prepared for it, man, it hurt. It hurt bad. Because now I'm like, this is where I live. This is home.
Right.
What's going to happen now? Now I know if I'm going to play somewhere, I'm going to have to leave my family behind. That's the next thought.
So you already knew at that point that Denver was going to be home? Or
yes.
At least for the foreseeable
yes,
future?
No, Denver was home.
Denver was home.
Denver was home, 1,000%.
Because you had already been here. You were there for 3 years, 2007, 8, and 9, right?
This is 10. Yep, this is 10. Denver's home. And, you know, kids are in school. You know, I guess I got, a 4, 5-year-old at that time, right around there. And so Denver's, they're in school. All this stuff, and it's like, okay, I'm not done playing football, but that means I'm going to have to go to a new town and start all over again, meet new people, learn a new system without my family.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so you start thinking about stuff like that. So it was, it hits you at once. I mean, it really does. As much as, like I said, as much as I was prepared, it was not fun. Not fun couple weeks.
So I was just going to ask, how long did it take until you were like, okay, I am headed to Seattle?
Well, I signed with Seattle after the third week of the season. So you're talking about, you know, 3 weeks or so. And I had some connections there, talked with those guys, and my guy told me, like, hey, when you get healthy, let us know. So it took me a while to get healthy. I got healthy. I let them know. They brought me in for a workout. Right after the workout, I signed, and I was there for the rest of the season.
Man, I know it hurts you a little bit. Like, cause I know that was like a low moment, which is why it's still one of my favorites. But you went on to play like 5 more years in the league. Just an awesome like path. And I still, every time we go down this, I still find new appreciation for it. And you and I both appreciate our 9 News Broncos insider, Mike Kliss here, who was delivering the news both last night and,
well, we got Kliss
and this morning.
I still got more of my story to tell, too.
Yeah, and we're going to get back to it. We're going to get
What's
back
up,
to
Kliss?
It.
What's up, Kliss?
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I think I might have reported that story.
Yeah, you know some dirt from that story too that I've never told.
Yeah,
you do.
Yep, okay. Yep. That's all right.
Can we get to that today?
I don't know if I want to share it today.
It's enough years have passed.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
You look less. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know, there's just all kinds of roster gymnastics and these procedural maneuvers that happen this time of year. And, you know, it is the time of year when a lot of people realize that loyalty can be a one-way street. So, but it's a, you know, it's a tough time for a lot of people.
You know, Mike, one of my biggest takeaways of the last 24 hours, I mean, even less than that, is Trinity Benson. Trinity Benson,
yeah.
I thought every single day showed up. He didn't have bad days. He just, and if he did, I didn't see it. And I just thought, like, man, if you want to make the roster, you have to go above and beyond the way that Trinity did. And I just don't know what else he could have done to be a member of the Denver Broncos.
Well, he was a number five receiver. You know, he wasn't going to beat Al Patrick or KJ Hamler or Judy or Sutton. He did earn the number five, number six, you know, depending on where you want to put Deontay Spencer, the returner, who's going to be active every day. So it was working out that Benson, as good as he was going to be the number six receiver. And that guy has to play special teams. And Trinity Benson is a slight, smaller guy. He's really fast, but he's not going to tackle and he's not going to block. And if he's not going to return, that's his chance, is to return. And Deontay Spencer is better than him at returning. And so that's what happened to Trinity Benson. He actually made the team, but he was traded because they wanted to strengthen special teams, which is something they had to do.
Yeah, you know, you look at him, and, man, he was great during camp. But it's one of those things, Zach, like I told you, you know, for the last couple of years before, like, it doesn't even matter what he did, what he does. The numbers game just caught up to him, unfortunately. But at least he gets to go to a spot with a team that wants him.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. He might have a great opportunity there. So hopefully he does. Mike, what's going on with when you look at Tyree Cleveland and Seth Williams? Well, with those two receivers, yeah. Are they making the team? Did they get cut? What's going on with those two guys? Late round picks from the last 2 years at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, right now they're. You're right. The surprise was that they didn't keep any of them. You know, the Tyree Cleveland, Seth Williams, Trinity Benson. You know, removing one of them wasn't a surprise. Removing all three of them was the surprise. There's a chance one of them come back after the waiver wire. There's a chance they look at receivers on the waiver wire to fill in that, you know, it looks like they got one more spot available on the, you know, like Mike Boone is going to be on this 53-man roster. But to put him on short-term IR, you had to put him on the roster now, and then you're going to put him on IR on Wednesday. And that keeps him out for 3 weeks. But you can't, the only way to do that, you had to have him on the original roster come today. So that's what I mean by roster gymnastics, all the different kinds of things you have to go through. But I do think, you know, with the second 53, there's always two of them. There's the one you set, and then there's the one that is closer to the season opening roster. After waivers, after you claim some guys, you know, 1 year, I think the Broncos claimed four guys off waivers after they set the 53. And so really only 49 made it and four new guys came in. Deontay Spencer was one of them in that group, I believe. But, so we'll see. If they don't get a receiver that they like on waivers, there's a chance one of those guys might come back on the 53.
Well, one of those receivers was Kendall Hinton. Explain to me how the Broncos cut a 24-year-old who's already in the Hall of Fame. Like,
I know. That was, you know, there was a lot of reaction to that one. And Kendall had a good, he started off, he had a good OTA, you know, mini camp, a good summer. And then he was good the first 2 weeks of training camp, 10 days. And then he kind of fell off, and where Kendall, I thought, hurt himself was, you know, it looks like he needs development on the returns, you know, judging the punt, judging the punts, which is a difficult deal, you know, for guys who have never done it.
Yep.
And you know, like Khalif Raymond. Stoke, didn't you really like Khalif
Raymond?
That
was his boy.
Loved him.
Stoke
loved
said,
him.
If they cut Khalif Raymond, I'm getting on the phone and I'm calling my contacts around the league.
Yeah. Got him. He's still around.
He is.
He is still around. He was very good, but it took him 2 years to judge an NFL punt.
Yeah.
And that's what cost him. So,
well,
nothing against Kendall. You know, it just takes time. Sometimes these guys don't hit till their third or fourth year.
Yeah, and when you're in his position, you got to be able to do something on special teams. And, you know, not being able to be that reliable returner. We saw him in a game misjudge a punt, and, you know, it's bouncing around. You just can't. You got to be perfect doing those things if you want to have a chance. Mike, was there a surprise guy that is on, that made this roster, that's going to be on this roster as of now, that kind of surprised you?
Right now, I don't have Jonathan Harris, the defensive lineman, cut. So if he makes it and he hangs in there, I think they're still going through a couple decisions, by the way. I think there's two or three more that they're working through. If Jonathan Harris makes it, that's a pleasant surprise. That would mean keeping seven defensive linemen, I believe, which is one more than I thought. Andre Mintz has got a chance. His name, he's still alive. He would extend that run of undrafted rookies. Mm. And he looked good against the Vikings, then had the concussion and, you know, thought he might have been in trouble because he didn't play the second week. But they obviously liked him. I think he's from Vanderbilt.
Yes.
And he came out of there, and he's a good edge rusher. They want to Jonathan Cooper, him, Malik Reed, Vaughn and Chubb, you know, coming off injuries. They wanted a little more depth there at outside linebacker. Right now, Kerry Vincent, a rookie, seventh-round rookie, is making it over Savion Smith and Nate Hairston, a couple of veterans. That's a case where, you know, you worry about the rookie, you know, from LSU getting claimed on waivers.
Right.
Where the veterans are in a situation where they – where, you know, they're not subject to waivers, the way I understand it in Nate Hairston's case. So that's another roster procedural type move where Nate Hairston had a better camp than Kerry Vincent did. But, you want to try to keep both somehow. So those were some of the surprises, I would say, if it sticks, if those guys, if Harris, Vincent, and Mintz all make the team. Those are mild surprises.
Mike, we appreciate you here on a Tuesday impromptu jumping on. It's a big day for the Broncos. We're going to hear from George Payton, Vic Fangio later this afternoon, and definitely wanted to check in with you. You broke half of this stuff, so great job. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again later in the week.
All right. See you guys.
All right. That was Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Sometimes it's just not fair.
No.
You know, it's just like, it's just not fair, whether it's a numbers game or a, hey, even though this guy didn't have the camp that guy had, he's not going to make it through waivers and we're going to lose him and we just drafted him in the seventh round and want to spend more time with him.
Yeah.
And the other guy, like, I played better.
Right. I'm better. I'm better right now. But, you know, he doesn't go through waivers. He's just a free agent and, you know, he's been around and, you know, maybe teams don't want him and his potential because they've seen enough. But Vincent, They look at him, a younger player, and they like that potential there. So, yeah, it's a weird deal, man. It really is, and it's not always about who's the best player.
No, it's not. It's not. All right, it's cut down day. The roster is moving and shaking. We'll deliver updates to you as they come. We will get back to Stokely's story because what was around the corner after McDaniels cut him, I don't think anyone could see. We will get back to that. But in the meantime, the biggest story of the day, Cam Newton, no longer QB1 in New England. What does that mean for Cam? And what does it mean for Mac Jones, who the Broncos could have had with the ninth overall pick? We'll take a dive into all that coming up next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
This is in the Hall of Fame for me, this one. Mark Morrison, Matt Sweet. Return of the Mac. This is hanging from the rafters of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, not me.
When I was in college.
This was a college song? What year was this?
Late night.
Out?
I mean, this came out in like the 90s. This came out in like, I don't know, maybe 94? No, maybe 96? Richie, can you look that up? But yeah, this was, this never goes out of style for me. Return of the Mac, Matt.
Not my deal. Not my deal.
Yeah, 96, bang, nailed it.
I mean, you said three dates.
No, I said 94, and then I pivoted to 96.
97.
And then put it in park. Correct. All right. Mac Jones, QB1.
Oh.
New England Patriots.
Oh, there we go. That's why we played that. There it is.
It's Richie.
Yeah.
Creative.
He's on it.
Creative. Patriots cut Cam Newton. They didn't even try to trade him. And who knows what you could get. I mean, you know.
They might have tried to trade him. Nobody wanted him, Zach. How about that? Who wants Cam Newton right now?
It was reported that they did not try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe that's showing respect to him.
Okay.
Like, you're a free agent. Go where you want. What are they going to get for Cam Newton? Anyway, seventh round pick. Right? I mean, you're not going to get. I mean, he played awful last year.
Awful.
Awful. We saw it.
He's capital A.
Right. So let's not pretend it's like MVP 2015 Cam Newton here. So I don't know. Maybe they're trying to do him a solid.
Maybe so. This now paves the way for D-Mac's prophecy. Cam Newton to the Broncos.
Oh, that was one of them, right?
Remember, he wrote the article. He said,
yes.
Mike Shula was the offensive coordinator during his best days in Carolina. Quote, I went and read the article again this morning.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh, gosh.
The forgotten Cam. They left me to die.
He ain't the same player.
Did you have anything?
I was just left to die.
As D-Mac's guy, he said, quote, welcome home, Cam.
Wow.
They ain't never seen this Cam.
So that's
hot off throwing 8 touchdown passes in the 2020 season.
Oof. Wow.
in a record-setting season.
Wow.
He had like 1,000 touchdowns thrown, most ever. Cam threw 8.
D-Mac wanted him here.
That was his guy.
Maybe he still does.
That was his
Who
guy.
Who knows what he's going to say today? Maybe he still does.
He said, well, I can't wait to hear. He said, I can see it. Drew Locke singing along to Young Jeezy, I put on while Cam Newton throws on an orange jersey.
Wow.
He said, I can see it. Can you?
No, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He threw in Young Jeezy in there? I put on?
I remember the day. Remember, he came in here. We were yelling at each other just like we were a few weeks ago.
There we go. Yes. Let that,
Come
to me.
Come on, Jeezy.
Come on, Jeezy.
I put on.
Oh, my God. This is, woo. Hey, this will get you going. Hey,
this hits different. This is like you're on the highway.
Yeah.
You can go windows up, crank it. You can go windows down, crank it. Let that beat drop.
I think this was Denver Broncos year for me. Is this 09, 10?
Let me guess again here. I'm gonna say
08, 09.
I'm gonna say I was gonna say like 7, 8. And then the remix with Kanye?
I'm gonna say eight. What year?
I'll say nine.
Yeah, with Kanye.
2008.
Okay, with Kanye. Kanye. That's good. Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
The music just stops and he jumps in there. Oh my goodness.
If I got Cam, let me die.
He ain't the same player.
I wonder if D-Mac's still gonna stick by that today.
I mean, what's changed?
Nothing's changed.
A football game hasn't been played.
Right.
So it's hard to believe that was this offseason. It feels like two offseasons ago.
And the other thing, Zach, so, you know, everybody, pretty much everybody, I don't know where you've been at, but everybody has been, you know, on George Payton about who should he have taken. They've said one guy around here.
That's it.
Which guy? Justin
Fields.
Yeah. Justin Fields. Right? Justin Fields. Now, nobody's talked about Mac Jones, so I don't want to hear if Mac Jones ends up being Josh Allen that, we should have taken Mac Jones. I don't want to hear that
hold
nonsense.
Hold on a second. You and I were doing radio in February, March, and April, and once a week, I would go on a mini rant and say, what is with the dismissive tone around Mac Jones? I watch him play every Saturday. He looks great. He looks awesome. He looks like the guy who has won Super Bowls in this league that works with precision from the pocket. And I would go on that. Please tell me you remember this. He was number one on my board on our arts and craft big board of possibilities or
I
whatever.
I never saw that thing.
He was number one on my board, and he never moved. He never moved. And I called Richie this morning because Richie would like take pictures of the board. And I said, if you can go back. He was number one on my board.
Do we have a picture of that?
And he never moved. And I did radio with you for 3 months leading up to the draft. And once a week I would do this. So don't tell. I know your awareness was a 77 on Madden. But
I don't remember where you were at, honestly. So, yes, now that you're kind of refreshing my memory. But I'm talking about Darren and some of these other guys around here that are, you know, I don't know, Evans and Slayer, you know, Justin Fields. Like, George Payton should have taken Justin Fields, and it's like, whoa, okay. All right, that's where you're putting your flag over there now. If Justin isn't the guy and Mac Jones is, well, then, you know, don't be coming down on George Payton, because a lot of people around here are just saying, Justin Fields, that's where George Payton screwed up. So we'll see, and both of them might be good, and Mac Jones might end up being awful, but,
I don't want to sprain my ankle here on a victory lap. He's played two preseason games.
He hasn't done anything. But, you know, you can see.
Initial eye test.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll see how it plays out. But I want to get out in front of this because, you know, the Josh Rosen and the Josh Allen, and all of a sudden things get kind of muddied years later about who you wanted, who you didn't want, you know, and so.
Call that revisionist history.
Yes.
Just revised the past.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. But, yeah, Cam Newton, done, Patriots. And, you know, Bill doesn't play. I like the way Bill operates to a certain degree there. You know, he said, I'm just doing what's best for the team. And, look, if Cam's not going to be your starter, why do you really need him there as a backup? He can't throw the football very well anymore. His style's different than Mac Jones. So, you know, they're going to go to more, you know, suited for that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to get to somewhere eventually, why not get there now? You know, you say that a lot, I think.
If you're going
to
do something eventually, do it immediately.
Yeah. So why not just do it now?
For sure.
And get this thing rolling, and by week 8 or 10, he should be better than what he is. Week 1, you might going to take some lumps, but they put together a good roster over there, too, to kind of help him along.
Yeah.
They should have a good defense.
Good weapons
around him. So why not just do it now? Because Cam Newton, I don't think, is going to provide a better product out there. I mean, he was bad last year. That's the facts.
So bad.
That's the facts. 8 touchdowns?
8. Passing touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
So why not just go with a young guy? So, I they made the decision there, and we'll see if Cam gets picked up anywhere. I don't know, you know, when you have trouble throwing the football.
And you play quarterback?
Yeah.
Cam had a superpower.
Yes.
Cam had a superpower, and it was fleeting. Like, you couldn't play that way forever. But when he was at the peak of his powers, I mean, Cam was one of the most dynamic quarterbacks that we've ever seen. He already has the all-time.
You're talking about him being able to run the football.
Yeah, he's got the all-time record for quarterbacks that got in the end zone with their feet. No one's ever done that more than Cam. Not Randall Cunningham, not Michael Vick. Maybe Lamar Jackson eventually breaks it.
Does Baltimore make sense? You know, they got McSorley behind Lamar Jackson, but Cam just doesn't have that running presence that he once had. So that's where my mind went this morning. Does Baltimore make sense? Because they need a backup to Lamar. But does Cam still provide that punch, you know, that with the running game and how they run their offense? I'm just not quite sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe
where else?
Maybe Pittsburgh, a backup to a 38-year-old Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but why? Like he's got to throw the ball there. They're more of a passing offense. I'm just thinking because he struggles throwing the football. I don't know. I don't know what would be a good fit for him.
I would say maybe Buffalo, but they have Mitchell Trubisky as a backup.
Great Mitchell.
I mean, I'd rather try to win a game with Mitchell Trubisky than Cam Newton right now.
Wow.
Right now?
Wow.
Right now? Give me Mitchell. Mitchell Trubisky was quarterback of a 12-14 2 years ago.
I can't, you know, and he had a great preseason game against Chicago also.
He did.
So.
I just don't trust Cam. I think Cam Newton's days in the National Football League are over. That's what I think. He's got a monster personality right. as well, so he doesn't profile like a backup.
Yeah, that doesn't work well with being a backup.
No. So we'll continue to discuss it. We are going to get back to your story on a day like today. Going back 11 years ago, we will get back to that. But something flew under my radar this past weekend in the final Broncos preseason game versus the Rams. It's just a little bit confusing, and I want to bounce it off you coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
There was something that flew under my radar this past weekend in the Broncos' final preseason game against the Rams. I don't know what to make of it, and I'm being honest when I say that. I legitimately don't know what to make of it. And that was Javonte Williams, Stoke, being a healthy scratch in the final preseason game. Javonte Williams, a healthy scratch this past weekend. The rest of the starters played. And if you didn't play, if you're like Noah Fant, KJ, you had an issue. Noah has a lower leg injury. KJ was sick all last week. But there was nothing wrong with Javonte. And Vic, when asked about it after the game, was like, "We just wanted to feature Melvin."
Yeah,
I'm like, but it's a preseason game.
Well, I had no issue with that. I mean, Javonte's played a lot in the first two games. I don't know how many carries, but he played a lot.
He has.
So, at a certain point, you've seen enough as a coach. Do you expect to see a lot of Javonte Williams this year, Zach? Say it.
Yes.
Thank you. You will see a lot of Javonte Williams. He's a big part of the plans for the Broncos. So they played him a lot. I think they trust him. And once you gain their trust, it's like, okay, we're counting on this guy this year. Whether it's, I mean, I don't know. He's not going to play, you know, get 30 carries a game, right, as long as Melvin Gordon's around. But you're still counting on this guy to be a big part of your team this year, whether it's in the reserve role, third down role, whatever the case may be. So you get to a certain point, you're like, okay, we've seen enough. It's preseason. It's stinking preseason. We don't want to get that guy, J.K. Dobbins. You know,
right.
And all of a sudden, you know, you lose him. And, you know, for the year, after you've already seen enough. Now, you need to play him as a rookie in preseason games to gain your trust. And they did that.
How many carries do you think he got?
How about 13?
12.
Okay.
Good guess.
Yeah. Well, I knew it wasn't a lot, but I knew, you know, so, but how many plays has he played?
Right.
You know, we remember him on that third down play. I think you brought it up, the hit, picking up the blitzer and the hit on the guy that gave Teddy or whoever more time.
It was Teddy on the fourth down play.
Yeah, on the fourth down play. That's right. To Jerry Jeudy.
Yep.
You know, those plays matter also, right? It's not just about carries.
Sure.
And when he did have the ball, I think he looked pretty darn good.
He looked pretty darn good. Yeah.
So, I think it just gets to a point where, okay, we've seen enough here. Guess what? Melvin Gordon hadn't played. Let's take a look at some of these other backs. Let's let Melvin start and then get him a few carries, whatever, and then we'll turn it over. We don't want to get him hurt. We've seen enough.
If you were to predict, because, and this is what I'm still wrestling with. This is why I was delayed in my response of when you said, hey, how are you going to see Javonte Williams a lot this year?
Right.
I'm still just a little bit, I don't know how Pat Shurmur's going to handle it.
Yeah.
Because I think naturally, and we talked about this a year ago with the Philip Lindsay fiasco, that if you look at Pat Shurmur's career, it looks like he naturally wants to have a bell cow. not that the other guy's not going to get carries, but it's like 70-30. And I think that there is this incredible assumption, and maybe it's the right assumption because of his draft status and the way the coaching staff feels about him and even sitting him out to keep him healthy for week one. But I think there's this assumption that, like, hey, by week four, Javonte Williams is going to take this job. Melvin Gordon looks really good.
Looks great.
He looks really good. Melvin Gordon is a veteran player. Is he a perfect football player? No, he's not. But he's also not a rookie. And I just don't know how Pat Shurmur is going to handle it. And I'm not going to be shocked if at year's end it is a 70-30 type split between the guy you're paying the sixth highest mark in the league at that position against the rookie.
Yeah, it might end up being that way. But, you know, you want Javonte Williams there. And especially when Boone went down, you know, now all of a sudden if you lose him in a last preseason game when you don't really need to see a whole lot, it just becomes pointless, I think, at a certain point. And I think that's what happened with Javonte. But, I'm with you. I mean, look, I think this is Melvin Gordon's year. If he stays healthy, he's going to play well. He looks great. And he's going to get the bulk of the carries. But there's still going to be enough for Javonte Williams. So I don't have any concern with it, I think. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think week four we're going to see Javonte Williams taking this job from Melvin Gordon. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. So now if Melvin gets dinged up or whatever or gets sick like he did last year and the door opens up and Javonte Williams, you know, goes in there and looks like, you know, whatever and plays great, then it could. You could see a change there. But I think the Broncos, I think, you know, once you look, Vaughn, okay, needed to play a little bit, you know, Cortland definitely needed to play a little bit. Albert O coming off the injury needed to play a little bit. I didn't really think I didn't need to see Vaughn play, but if he wanted to play and they wanted him to play, okay, that's fine. But you got to walk that fine line with certain guys. And it is football. You got to get ready to play, but man, you know, look at the Ravens.
That's a poster child
right now for preseason. He's just like, goodness, J.K. Dobbins going into his second year. They're starting running back. Looked like he was going to be ready for just a huge year in that offense. And in a meaningless game before the season starts, you lose him for the year.
Crazy.
I mean, so it's one of those, you walk that fine line. And it's a physical sport that things like that happen. And, you know, it's just tough when it happens in a meaningless game.
It's brutal. You know who the backup running back is in Baltimore?
Yeah, Gus Edwards. He's a good player. He's actually a really good player, kind of under the radar, really good running back.
He is under the radar.
He'll have a good year this year. He'll play really well.
He was over 700 yards. I mean, how about this? Now, this is not a household name.
Right.
But guys who play fantasy football, stuff like that, they know Gus Edwards.
That's why I know him.
Okay, there you go.
Right there, because of that.
Gus Edwards walked in the league in 2018, was over 700 yards. 2019, over 700 yards. 2020, over 700 yards as a secondary player.
And I think they gave him a decent contract this offseason. They signed him to an extension, I believe, if my memory serves me correct. But he's just a really good, solid football player, and I think he will have a really good year.
All three years, not only over 700 yards, but averaged 5 yards a carry or more for three straight years. And in each of those years, never carried the ball less than 100 times, so the sample size is legitimate. So, but still, J.K. Dobbins he was first-round guy, right?
Yeah, out of Ohio State.
Late
first, early second, yeah,
something like that.
Might have went in the early second, but yes.
Regardless.
So, yeah, it's just tough when you lose a guy like that. So I was perfectly fine not seeing Javonte. Well, he played enough, and I think they've seen enough. And that's what tells you they've seen enough, right? Whenever they handle a guy, a rookie like that, they've seen enough. They trust the guy.
Very interesting. I can't remember last year or anybody else this year of being handled like that. So
smart guy. So, you know, protections and stuff and picked up that blitz and fourth down.
Yep.
Knows what he's doing, you know. And then when he has run the ball in the preseason, I mean, you see, his strength.
He's got it.
Tough to tackle.
And you say smart guy. Remember during draft prep, he was the valedictorian of his high school.
I remember.
All right.
That's why I said smart guy.
Just adding context.
Yeah. We had on the North Carolina play-by-play guy,
I think,
right?
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
I remember that also.
All right. But you didn't remember me saying Mac Jones is number one on my board. All right.
I don't remember a lot of things you say, Zach. I kind of tune you out.
Touche. All right.
I'm not saying it. Not saying it. Not going to get in trouble at home. About to say something.
I see what direction you were going.
Not doing it today.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I can't believe I'm about to ask this question. Would the Broncos have interest in Cam Newton? I'm going to bounce that question off our senior Broncos writer, John Clayton, coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.